Good morning. I did it. Got through the first hurdle. I said good morning.
Let's see if,
yes, hopefully I can do it the rest of the way out. Let's pray. Lord, just give me peace. Take away my nervousness. Help me to be free, to be myself tonight, Lord. And most importantly, Lord, let's keep our focus on you. It's not about me, it's about you, Jesus. Open our hearts to receive the things that you want us to receive tonight, Lord. Amen. If you got a Bible, looking at John 15, starting in verse 9. I'll go ahead and put it up here, but if you guys have your Bibles, you can look at it as well. I'm reading this one out of the NIV translation. I was wondering how that was going to look up there. It looks kind of pink. So here we go. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. That's Jesus speaking, obviously to the disciples. That's John writing this. Sometimes in our walk with God, we get to a place where we watch movies and get disconnected. Actually, that's what I'm talking about. That's kind of funny, isn't it? We'll see. If I have to fight with this, I'm going to just get rid of it. But no, seriously, I think that sometimes we can find ourselves in a place of disconnect, but we still love Jesus. And sometimes we find ourselves cold-hearted, lazy, distracted. And this is important. When we walk with Jesus, our hearts will burn for Jesus. And when we receive God's love for us, we will become a lover of God. This will make us successful. It'll transform us and empower us to love others. I got this word one day. I was in my truck. And the Lord said, it's okay sometimes to be in cruise control. Because in cruise control, you're only in the cruise control for a little while. You know, somebody's controlling the vehicle. The vehicle's controlling. So you can kind of just go with the flow here. But it's not okay to be in neutral. Because if you're in neutral, you're coasting. And you're coasting, and you're only going to go as far as your momentum will carry you, and then you're going to stop. And so we have to be really careful that we're not living our lives in neutral. But it's okay to sometimes take a break and put it in cruise control. And this was just something that God was speaking to me. And so this is kind of like where I've got on this teaching and kind of ran with it, is God really wanted to speak to me about his love. And so I'm going to share that with you tonight. I said that. Sometimes we can come burned out. Burned out sometimes comes... It's not from doing too much stuff. Burned out is doing too much stuff in the wrong spirit. That's when you get burned out. We forget why we're doing the things that we're doing, especially if you're serving in the church body and you get burned out. You know, we have to evaluate, why are we serving again? You know, is it because we just want to do stuff? Or is it because we're doing it in the right spirit? We're doing it because we love Christ. Sometimes we get fired up. How many of you have gone to church camp? Church camp? I was a preacher kid, so I went to church camp. You know, I always thought that they were doing us a favor, but really they were doing themselves a favor because they were getting rid of us for a week, right? Like, why are they trying so hard to wash so many cars? Because they want to get rid of us. So, you know, you go to church camp and you're kind of nervous, and you go with a group and you got buddies, and the first day you're a little nervous, and but you're excited, but you don't know what's going on, so you're kind of, you know, checking things out, and like, you're not really caring about why you're there except for just friends, you know. We have these church services and chapel and stuff, but it's like that's boring because you just want to hang out with your friends, you know. It gets a little more exciting, then you meet a girl that you have a crush on, and it gets even more exciting, and you still haven't realized that you're there for, you know, just so you can grow in your walk with Christ, you know. You're just there because you hang out with your buddies. And then the last day, you know, they have the altar call, you know, the amazing worship service, and they're singing, "Our God is an awesome God," and you're remember that song? I went to a conference one time, and I heard that first song for the first time, and I was like, this is the coolest song ever. They're saying awesome, awesome. So you're singing the awesome God song, and you're jumping around, and your buddies are shouting, and they're hooling and hollering, and then they have the altar call, and everybody runs up there, you know, and everybody's falling on their face, and you're the guy that's like, I don't feel nothing. How come they get it, but I don't get nothing? I went up there, but I didn't feel nothing. They all fall on the floor and roll around and scream and hooting and hollering, but I didn't feel it. But then you get fired up though, because they're like, you can go back and you can change your high school, you can change the world, and so you're like, yeah. So you get home and like, you tell your mom, I'm gonna go change the world. And then 3 days later, you're cussing with your friends and watching Total Recall or something. Married with Children. We weren't allowed to watch MTV in our house. MTV was, Mama said that's the devil. Devil's. Anyway, I got to move on here. So there's a guy named Dave Slyker. He's out of IHOP. He's really cool. This is a quote from him. He says, "We can never grow for our love for Jesus with a dull spirit." This is talking about. He's talking about sometimes as Christians we can get a dull spirit. If our spirit is dull or defiled, we cannot feel his presence. We can be forgiven, but still have a dull spirit. We can go to heaven, but still live our lives now with a dull spirit. When we defile our spirit with sin, choosing not to come under the Holy Spirit's leadership, it grieves him. When the Holy Spirit within us is grieved, it does not mean that he no longer loves us. He delights in us, but if we will not come under his leadership, we will not have his supernatural power inspiring our spirit. We can live our lives as a Christian, but live our lives with a dull spirit, coasting in neutral. We're still going to go to heaven, but there's something that Jesus requires out of us. He also says this, when we try to love God without interacting with the Holy Spirit, we can grow cynical, apart from the life under the Holy Spirit's leadership. We will not change or grow in our love for God. And if not careful, loneliness or even depression can set in. I did a teaching a while back about depression and how I actually did a study on it, and then I did a teaching on it, and it was really good because it was really powerful, and it was something that the church should talk about because the church doesn't talk about it so much. You know, some churches, they kind of sweep it under the rug, and, you know, depression, like, say Christians shouldn't struggle with depression. But unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that struggle with depression. There are a lot of pastors that struggle with depression. There's a lot of leaders that struggle with depression and loneliness. And it's not something that we need to hide. We need to talk about it. We need to get it out there and talk about it. I've struggled with depression. There's actual a clinical diagnosed depression, and there's actually, and not most people don't have that. Most people just have a minor case of depression, where you actually need to be on medication for that. And there's many causes for it. I mean, it could be like your thyroid. It could be chemical, just circumstances, and for no explanation at all. And sometimes sin will take us down that road of depression. Depression isn't because we're living in sin, but sin will lead to depression eventually if you not get out of your sin. So, yeah, that's depressing, isn't it? I'm trying to drill some things into our hearts tonight. What I want to I want you guys to understand that there's more than just floating along life and just trying to, you know, just live our daily routine and get up in the morning. There's more for us than living in depression and living in loneliness and sadness. And there's a lot of it in the church, and it breaks my heart because I've been there and I do it all the time too. I wake up some days and say, today sucks. You know, it's just one of those days, you know, and it's just like, I'm there a lot in my life and I have to fight it every single day, just like you guys do. I'm gonna go back to slide 15. My way's being silly. Somebody must be downloading something. Somebody downloading a video or a movie. So check it out. Let's go back to what Jesus said. What did he say when we began when I read this? Let's take a look here where I got it highlighted. It says in verse 9. It says, this is Jesus, he says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. How do you do that? Well, he gives us a tool right here to do it. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Wait. So he says, what's the command? The disciples are asking him, probably. And Jesus says this. He says, this is my command, to love each other the way I have loved you. You remain in Jesus' love by loving people? Whoa. Check it out. Isn't that cool? Oh, that was cool. We remain in his love. Some translations say stay in his love, or abide in his love, or live in his love. I want to be there. But it takes loving others the way Jesus loves. So, yeah. Woohoo! Did I drill that in deep? So weakness, God is not shocked at our weakness. It doesn't surprise him when we wake up in the morning and say, oh, I got to get out of bed again. Oh, I can't do this again. Oh, I don't want to do my devotional again. It doesn't shock him. He loves us. He loves us right where we're at. Our greatest longing, a human desire, is to be desired by someone, right? Our greatest longing and desire is to be desired and enjoyed. Do you know that? Our greatest longing and desire is to be longed and enjoyed by God. And when you get a revelation of that, that the living God enjoys you, Becca, and the living God desires you, enjoys you, it'll empower you to love. When you receive his love and you understand that, it empowers you to love other people. Because you can't love other people until you receive God's love for your own life. So this is it's a lifelong journey of learning, a learning to love. Did we learn to love? Bob Jones went to heaven. He died, went to heaven, the guy, a prophet. And the one question he said that was asked at the judgment was, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And I listened to it a bit. I went back and listened to it again. And I thought, I want to hear that again. So I listened. He says there was a lady there. And she said, and they was asked the question, did you learn to love? And she said, yes, Lord, I learned to love you, but I couldn't love people because I was bitter my whole life. And he said, you're welcome to come in, but you have no rewards. You can love God, but if you don't love people, there's no reward in that. Beloved, I've been there. Sometimes people drive me crazy. But I love him. Anyways. Peter, the disciple Peter, he had to learn to love, didn't he? He was called the Rock. Jesus called him the Rock. And Peter's like, hey boys, did you hear Jesus? He called me the Rock. Dun 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 dun. Rocky? Okay, Rock. Okay. Peter loved that. He's like, yeah, I'm the Rock. It's me, the Rock. But Peter wasn't the Rock yet, was he? Peter was a couple, same night, I think it was, later on, he denied him 3 times, and he was a coward, and he ran away. But Jesus saw something that the others didn't see. He saw potential, and he saw something that Peter was going to be, and he knew that Peter had to learn to love, and eventually Peter would be the rock. And so Peter had to learn to love. Abraham had to learn to love. Abraham was the man of faith, right? And he believed in God's promises. It says in Romans, it says, Paul writes, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. He didn't? He never wavered? He's like, hey, dude, this is my sister. I don't take her. I don't just, Sarah. Like, no, that's not my wife. That's my sister. Abraham wavered. But there, he had to learn to love. And they saw what he became, not who he was in the moment. The Lord sees our potential. It doesn't matter what people say about you, because God calls you his own, and he calls you his beloved. And that's who you are. You're his beloved. John gives himself his own title, right? He calls himself the beloved John. I am John, the beloved. We know John was kind of immature, right? He's like, let's go in there and destroy the whole city. Call down fire from heaven, right? And he's like, and Jesus is like, he's sons of thunder. And sons of thunder, he like was like rebuking him, you know, was like kind of like teasing him, because he's like, whoa there, boy, you know, calm down there. You got, you know, chill out. But John was one that called himself the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But he had to learn, and he had to be transformed by the power of God's love, just like Peter and Abraham and Paul and all these guys. They were transformed by the power of God's love. John was, he wrote his gospel later than the other guys. Matthew, Mark, they wrote it earlier on. He wrote it later on in his life. Some say he was probably in his 90s, you know, possibly on the island of Patmos. And just think, that's when he's writing this. I am the one whom Jesus loves. I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. I was thinking about this, and I was like, I wonder if he could have wrote that same thing in the moment when he was with Jesus. Did he believe that he was the one, the disciple that Jesus loved when he was with Jesus? Or did it take that many years before he developed it in his own heart that he was the one whom Jesus loved? It's a process that we have to grow and walk in. And so now John's writing it, and he's saying, oh, I can claim this identity from my life, and now I can say, I am the one whom Jesus loves. I remember when I laid my head on his bosom, and I remember what it felt like. I didn't understand it back then, but now I get it. It transformed me. It transformed who I was by allowing God's love to encounter my heart. So he's the only writer that actually, he writes that about himself, like about four times in the Gospel of John. And it's the only gospel that actually refers to him as the one whom Jesus loves. I think if you were to boast about anything in our life, I think it would be okay to boast about God's love for you. If you want to brag on anything about how awesome you are, brag about how good God's love is for you. Because you can boast in that. You can walk in that. I was thinking about getting these name tags and saying hello and hand them out to all you guys. Hello, my name is Kevin, the one whom Jesus loves. Obviously, me, I'm Kevin. You're not Kevin. Amanda. But you know what I mean? So we can walk around with this name badge saying, I am the one whom Jesus loves. I am the disciple who Jesus loves. Claim that identity for your own life, beloved. Because you are his beloved. This is what John later on writes. He writes this too. And Wayne, oh wait, that was Peter. How'd that get in there? Check this out, this is funny. Poor Peter. Denied. I don't know if I'd brag about that though. I would totally let like Jesus like make it, you know. I wouldn't. Okay, sorry. Let's skip that one. See, I forgot that. I forgot that was in there. Drill. Remember the drill. We're drilling tonight. We're drilling into our hearts. Drilling how much God loves us. Drilling it in there. Where am I? Oh yeah. So this is out of the message. This is what John writes in the message. He says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love, so that you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love that we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they have done to our relationship with God. I love the Message translation. It really puts it into perspective. We love God because what? He first loved us. John got it. This is God's plan for us, is to experience and grow in his love. We get to be on the unlimited data plan. You're not going to exhaust your data. We have four phones on our plan, and I'm like always like checking it. Oh, watch out. Oh, Leah's doing too much. Jacob. And I can shut it off. It's really cool with the AT&T app. If they're using too much, I can go boop and shut their data off. God's not going to do that. We're on an unlimited plan. You're not going to exhaust his love for you. Let it spill out. Let it fill your lives so it spills out onto other people. As we prayed for the first of the year, we do this every year. We do a 10-day fast, and we pray for what, just listen to what God's speaking for the upcoming year, for the body, and just for in our own lives. And then we get together and we talk about it, and I wasn't able to come because I had to be home with the kids, but Nina came that night, so I didn't get to share mine, but I just kind of kept it to myself. But during that 10-day fast, I kept waking up in the middle of the night with heartburn. And I have heartburn a lot, but it was just really bad heartburn, like I haven't had probably ever. And it would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'd get up, and I'm like, oh, this is horrible, and it would just be like choking me, and like in the throat, and all the... So I'd go in there, and I'd take some Maalox and lay back down, and it wouldn't even help. And like, it was so bad. And so this kept happening, like every night, and like during this fast period of time, and you know, it's probably like, you know, because I ate some Chinese, you know, when I shouldn't have, because I was supposed to be fasting, like, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, anyways. So, okay, is it... I did some fasting. I usually don't do the food, complete food fast, because I drive, and so you don't want a lightheaded, dizzy driver at work. So I usually do a media fast or something like that. God, anyway. So this is the word. So it came to the time where we're supposed to, like, you know, okay, well, Lord, what was the word? You know, what is it? Because you usually don't get it till the end of the fast. I'm praying. And I just kept hearing the word heartburn. I'm like, heartburn? I hate heartburn. Heartburn sucks. It hurts. It wakes me up in the middle of the night. He says, exactly. Your heart, I want your heart to burn for me. And I want to wake you up in the middle of the night so your heart's on fire for me and it's burning. So you can't ignore it. So you can't go take Maalox and it's going to go away. Because I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night with a burning heart for me. And I'm like, oh. Okay. Calm down. Getting excited. Okay. So this is part of the teaching that I was working on, because I'm like, what is this burning heart? There's this burning heart, and it's about our hearts are burning and growing in love for him. And how I was talking about earlier, how we can get disconnected sometimes if our heart is not burning and growing for him and a passion for him. Because our passion will go to other places, and we'll get distracted, and we'll get kicked off the track, and we'll get lonely, and we'll get depressed, and we'll try to figure out how to control our lives. And we get so frustrated because we can't control our lives, because I live in a house full of many children and I can't ever control anything in that house. So at least I can go to work and have control there for a little bit. And So I asked God, I said, Lord, what is it? Because I was in the truck and I'm like, Lord, I keep my eyes open in the truck. Don't worry. Like, Lord, unless I'm pulled over. And I'm like, Lord, what is it? Why do people struggle with this love thing? Why? What is the deal? Why do people struggle so much with it? And I closed my eyes and I saw this finger writing a word. And so I actually wrote it down in my truck, because I have a marker that I write in my windshield. We write down addresses and stuff so we don't forget. It's a dry erase marker. And so I actually wrote it down. This is the word I got. Trust. And I don't know if that was just a word for me or a word for everybody, but the reason why we struggle with love so much is because we don't trust. And the reason we don't trust is because we don't trust people. And so because we don't trust people, it reflects our relationship with God. And so now, do we truly trust God when he says, I got you, you are my beloved, you are my favorite, you are my disciple, you are the one whom I love? Do we believe it? Can we trust it when we hear his voice? Do we say, is that God's voice, or is that just heartburn, too much spaghetti? Do we trust it? So now we don't trust people either, right? Because we've been hurt by people. We've been assaulted by people. We've been molested by people, some people. We've been abused by people verbally. We've been abandoned by people. We've all had our trust issues with people. And so now we can't love people because we don't want to get close to people because we're afraid people are going to hurt us. And so we don't trust people. And so now we have a hard time trusting God. And it stops the whole cycle. It stops it all. It messes it all up because, remember, when we receive God's love for us, it should overflow into loving people. We have to allow that to happen because that's what's going to transform us. He says, remain in my love, obey my command, love people. So, yeah, we lost it again, didn't we? What's going on with that thing? So this is not something, because, like, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, I heard this love teaching like a billion times. It's all we talk about is love. It's like, you know, it's like love, love, love. And it's like, that's the thing we learned in Sunday school, really. Yeah, we were taught it in Sunday school, but I don't think we learned it in Sunday school. You can teach it all you want, but did you learn it? It's a lifelong experience of learning to love and walking it out. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. It's easy for me to trust in God when I have a job, you know, and I work 40 hours a week and I can pay my bills. But it's not very easy to trust in God when I can't pay my bills, you know. I live up on Kelso over there. I live by the new Love Overwhelming over there. And I drive by there and sometimes I see, you know, ambulances, police cars, fire trucks. I see things going on over there. And my first reaction is I want to judge and be like, ah, oh, man, there they go again. Oh, there they go again. And the funny thing is I don't know why Chuck chose to choose this name for the organization, but the name is Love Overwhelming. And so I drive by there and sometimes my first reaction is I want to just, ugh. And then all of a sudden I get overwhelmed with love. And it's weird because it drives me crazy because I want to go out and yell at those people, but God's like, love. And I'm like, huh. And so I see those people and I look at them and like I said, I mean, it takes just a moment for you to transform the way you think, to change your mind, to change your thought process and see like Jesus sees. Because if you entertain that other thought, before long, you're getting bitter, you're getting angry, you're getting mad, you know, and all these things coming. But when God says, no love, I want you to love. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I love, I love, I love. There was a guy here tonight. Where'd he go? Oh, he used to live across the street. He used to come in here with his girlfriend. They were pregnant, remember? Donald? Pray for his baby. Because he just had a baby, 8 months old. So I was talking to him tonight. And I looked into his eyes and I just loved him this morning. This morning. I only did it once. No. Ah. Really? Was that bad? Why don't you guys call me out on that stuff? Oh well. This is my first time ever teaching on a Sunday morning. Isn't that cool? Most Sunday mornings I was sleeping when I was a kid, so I don't remember Sunday mornings. I was sleeping in my dad's church and my grandpa's church. Anyway, so yeah, it's just taking that moment out of our busy schedule and then looking at people and just saying, you know, is there something I can just pray for you about? And like I talked to that guy and he said, my baby, pray for my baby. Nevaeh, I think it was, right? Nevaeh? So pray for Nevaeh. Lord, I just ask that you would be with him and whatever he's going through right now, Lord, and bless him and his baby and keep them safe, Lord. from him. So I have to teach about, so if I'm teaching about loving and loving our people and loving our neighbors and stuff like that, I'm like I have these neighbors, you know, that like live next to me, and we've talked through the years. I've been there for 11 years. They've been there 11 years or longer than us, so we've known them for a long time, and they're about my age, a little bit older, and so I used to talk to them and hang out with them a lot out in the driveway because they're always out working on the cars. They're like motorheads out there, like, rawr, rawr, all night long, and you know, and like, and they're cool guys and stuff, and we got so busy with the kids and just church and everything, like when I come home, it's like I'm just like to the door, like don't talk to me, I'm on the way, I'm on a mission. Or when I come out of the house, I'm all like on the way to the car, like I gotta go, sorry, I'm busy. And God's like, I'm telling you to love your neighbor. You're gonna teach about loving your neighbor, so you better love your neighbor. And all of a sudden, so I started just talking to him again, you know, like I hadn't in a while, and started interacting with him again. And it really transformed our relationship. And I'm like, man, just like, I get so busy with life that I forget to love my neighbor, literally my neighbor, the guy who has the noisy cars and their dog poops in my yard. And, you know, that guy is the guy that God wants us to love, you know. But I'm like, well, but I'm serving down at the church. I'm doing sound and serving and helping out down there. That's my way of loving. And I have kids and I have a wife, and I'm like, God's like, love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason why sometimes we have a hard time with that, because God's like, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he says, that's the problem. You can't love your neighbor because you don't love yourself. You got to love yourself first before you can love your neighbor, right? So let God's love transform you. Where am I going here? Sometimes we face storms in our life, right? Difficulties. And we really question God's love for us. We don't understand it. We just kind of just have to let God do what he wants in us sometimes. And we have to be and walk in obedience. And we end up getting to a point in our lives where we obey him because we love him. And we become a voluntary lover of Jesus, where we choose to love him regardless of our circumstance. During a storm, during good, during bad, we pray for the north winds and we pray for the south winds. The north wind of testing, the south wind of blessing. God's getting our hearts to a place where he wants to remove the things and hinder his love for us. That he's going to remove those things. And we're like, that hurts. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's the clay and the potter. You know, he's molding. He's fashioning us. He's removing things out of our lives, and we're fighting it the whole time. And he's like, well, I just want to love you more. But I can't love you more until I get this thing out of the way. Until I get this thing out of the way. Until I turn the TV off and listen, and let you listen to my voice for a moment. So let God remove the things that hinder his love, because that's what he's after. There's power in God's love. And I have this fancy drill here, nice tool. This is a DeWalt. I like DeWalt. I got DeWalt. Oops, sorry. So this is a power tool, right? It's a nice piece of equipment, and it can be used for some pretty cool things. Its main purpose is to drill holes or hit your kid with it. Not that I would do that. Oh, yeah, main purpose, drill holes. Oh, yeah, okay, so this is a power tool. This is called a power tool, right? So here, can you hold the mic, Amanda? I need both hands. I told Jeff he's got to get me one of them head things. I always got to do something here.
I like illustrations because that's how I learn. So, yeah, who's got my back? Nice. Proper safety attire. Got a board here. A drill bit. I'll hold that over here so I can talk, so I can hear me.
Okay, so I got to put the proper bit in there, right? We got the board. Okay, so we're going to do this. I'm going to drill a hole in this board because the Lord's going to drill holes. He's going to remove the things in our life that hinder his love. Hey, what's up with this power tool? It has no power. Why does this power tool have no power? It's not plugged in to the power source. What is it, Rick?
Has no love.
Let's see. Come on. Follow me, Amanda. We gotta find a power source. Let's see. Hang on. I found one.
This is the power source.
Let's see. Okay. Let's see what happens now. Yeah. See that? Now, the power. You got to be plugged into the power. What's the power? God's love. God's love will empower us to do what? I didn't tighten down the chuck. So anyways, you get what I'm saying here? Yeah. Okay. That's my point. That's you're like a drill. You're this awesome piece of equipment, but without the power source, you're powerless. And the power only comes from God. And when you let God's power empower you, you'll be able to love others. And he's going to remove things. But now we have a hole, right? But we have to fill that with something, because if not, we're just going to go right back to watching TV again. So we have to let God fill those places that he removes in our life with what he wants to fill it with. You know, we can't take the sawdust, sorry Roger, and put it back in the hole, but sometimes we try to do that, don't we? We try to pick the thing back up that God already removed, and we try to put it back in the hole. Anyways, you guys okay out there? Okay, let's see. I'm doing good for time, so I'll keep loving you. Unfortunately, God is going to honor your choice for less of him. If our hearts are not set on more of him, then he will honor that. He's going to honor that. He gives you free will. If you want less of him, he's going to give you less of him. We will find ourselves crying out, "Where are you, God?" And he's not going to invade our hearts unless we ask him. He's there the whole time. He never stopped loving you, but you have to remain in his love for you, right? So if you don't ask for more, he's not going to give you more. If you don't ask him to remove the things that hinder, then he's not going to remove them. You can continue to on this path of like this. This is great. I'm going to heaven. But that's all you're going to get. Because the reward comes later in our lives, right? We get to see the fruits of it today. Because this chapter where we're reading that Jesus is talking about is the fruit in the vine and bearing much fruit, right? It's abiding in him, staying in him. Paul says in Romans, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And in John 14, Jesus said this, "He who has my commands and he keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him." Back in verse, where's that? 11. He also says this when he's talking about remaining in my love. He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Joy. So we find joy when we love people. That's where we find our joy. When we serve people, because Jesus served people. He didn't walk in the room and say, "It's me, the anointed one." No, he walked in the room and he served, didn't he? Washing the feet. He served people. He loved them. And then because of that, he got to walk in joy. In that same joy, you get to walk in. He says right there, Jesus says, you, your joy may be complete when you love others. This is good stuff, beloved. Really good stuff. This is just basically just me taking notes, that's all. Just my journal, pretty much. Do most of it at work, not while I'm driving. Peter even says later on, he writes in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply. In the Song of Solomons, we see this thing of love going on between the Shulamite woman, and we see this, she's here in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8, she says, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am lovesick. I want to be lovesick. I want to be lovesick for Jesus. Jesus said, I am in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. God loves you like he loves his son Jesus. Power, beloved. There's where the power comes from, the power to live our lives when we walk and remain in his love. The greatest reward is to be loved so that we can love. We were made to love. If you can't feel the heat from the fire, then get closer to the fire. It's a simple word. If you're too cold and disconnected, move closer to the source, the flame, where the power comes from. God told Abraham in Genesis 15, he says, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. The greatest reward that we could have for our lives is God. He is our greatest reward. No other greater reward. We went to an Easter egg hunt, which was our first time. We usually just do our own. We went to one out at Roy Morris Park, and I was like all excited about it because it sounds all cool on the radio. And I was like, let's take the kids. Woohoo! Oh, yeah, right. You got to go stand in line with all these other people, and da-da-da. Then they have the age group, so we had to split up, and Nina was down there, and I was over here with Judah, and the Easter Bunny shows up, and Judah, like, starts screaming and freaking out because he didn't have nothing to do with that thing. And I was like, which is good, I guess, I mean, because I'd rather have him, like, know what Easter's really about than, so now he's scared to death of the Easter Bunny. But anyways, so we wait in this anticipation. We're excited. We can't wait till they catch that rope. They got this rope across there, and they're like, okay, they're counting down. Okay, 25 minutes. I'm like, They're, you know, because the kids don't even know what's going on. I'm like, no, we're in 25 minutes, we're going to run and go grab candy. What is, they don't get it. So you got to wait and wait, and they're getting antsy, all this stuff. You know, and then they finally cut the rope, and we get to go, and I'm like, okay, Judah, just go find and grab as much candy as you can. I'll hold your bag, and you just put it in the bag. And so he runs out there, and he finds a piece of candy, and he's like, I'm like, Judah, there's more. Go, run. Because, there's tons of kids. And he's like, he's so amazed by this one piece of candy. And I'm like, no, more. So I start grabbing some. Like, I didn't wait 25 minutes for nothing. That's our experience with God's love. It's like, you can have as much as you want. You just got to go after it. It's this treasure hunt. It's an egg hunt. It's this thing that you just go and you can get and you can fill your bag as much as you want. But or you can just stop with one and be content. And he's like, there's grass on it, Dad. Wipe the grass off, son. Put it in the bag. So, and we didn't walk away with very much candy at all. And then we got stuck in the parking lot for like 20 minutes, and it was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to Walmart next time just buying candy. Okay, so we're on this endless discovery of who God is and his love for us. This silly thing. Anyways, I'm going to tie it up here in a minute. This is important. This is something that we can walk away with right here. This is what John gives us three important things that we can look at here, and we can take statements we can walk away with. He says this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we must know his love for us. We must believe his love for us, and then we must abide, remain, and stay in his love. So know his love, believe his love, and abide in his love. That's powerful right there. We can do that in our own lives. Receive, believe, remain, and love others. The activity of the Holy Spirit in our inner man is powerful. It won't always be emotional, but even if we do not feel his power and activity, his work inside of us is real. Believe and contend, even when you don't feel like it. Oh, I had a slide for that, didn't I? That was actually Dave Slyker quote right there. That was good stuff. And this is a D.L. Moody quote right here. D.L. Moody, a writer, preacher back in the 1900s. Obedience means marching right on whether you feel like it or not. Many times we go against our feelings. Faith is one thing, feeling is another. So sometimes when you don't think that anything's going on, there is something going on. Right now, even if you don't feel like anything's going on in your heart, something is happening in your heart right now. There is power touching your heart. There is transformation power going on. And over a lifetime of your lifetime, you look back and go, whoa, I never thought I would be where I am today. But when you're in it, you don't see it. So sometimes when you don't feel it, it's not always emotional, but you will receive. There is power going on inside your heart. It's the word of God. It's powerful. It will transform you regardless. Amen? So here's a little secret I'm going to give you to married folks. Kids are not here yet, are they? When you make love a verb and you serve people, it will transform people. But when you make love a verb in your marriage, listen to this. When you make love a verb, for you married folks, making love a verb, you're going to make more love. You got that? Go overhead. Make love a verb and you will make more love. Okay, sorry. When I serve my wife, she's more willing to love me back. Trust me. And when you understand her love language is a little different than mine, and I serve her and I do things for her and I start loving her early on in that day, you know, later on that evening she looks at me, she's like, "You're the best." Because I served her. Because I made it an action instead of a feeling. Love is a verb. It's an action. It's something you do. You act it. You show it. Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciple because of my love, because of your love. They will know you because of my love in you, because of the way you act, the way you love people. It's an action." Okay. So I'm going to tie it up right here. This is it. This is the final one. I think. Do I have a slide? I don't know if I have another slide or not. I can't tell. No, that's it. Okay. So right here, this is what we do. We love our neighbors as ourselves. When we discover the power of love, it will transform us and empower us to love others. The power to love God can only come from God. We will be more willing to walk with people instead of walking away from people. Jesus said this. This is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So there you go. Go out there and love the hell out of people. Amen. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the sunshine. Thank you. Love you. Go play in the sun.